I was reminded because I was telling my children a story this week about how we once got lost. Do y'all remember when you used to drive places and get lost? Now, you'd have to be over 40 because anybody, you know, us old people, we used to get lost. Young people, you don't get lost anymore. But in the old days, you would get lost. And I don't know how to explain this to you, young people. Let me think. There used to be a large, colorful piece of paper. And it would have all these lines that were drawn. And it's amazing. Like, you know how on your phone, when Siri will lead you somewhere, that line used to be on a big piece of paper. And if you got off of the piece of paper, you were lost. And then I remember about 10, maybe 15 years ago when people could start to afford those Garmin GPSs and you'd put them up. We couldn't afford one, but my parents got one. And I remember we were at the beach and we got in the car and my stepdad had just installed this Garmin thing on the dashboard. And I was like, this is magic. What sort of voodoo witchcraft is this? Like, I drive and the little red dot follows me. And if I type in the name of the store, it tells me to whatever. Like, this is amazing. It's talking to all these satellites to do that. And I remember when Josie and I first got iPhones, this would be, oh, I don't know, 10 plus years ago. And you know how Apple Maps is and still was terrible, right? So use Google Maps, people. You're welcome. Or Waze. But so we didn't know that Google Maps existed, and it was before God invented Waze, so we used Apple Maps. And we lived in eastern New Mexico at that time, and there was no Starbucks in eastern New Mexico. The nearest Starbucks was a two-hour drive. I'm telling y'all, we were missionaries to New Mexico. It was roughing it, right? The nearest Starbucks was a two-hour drive. And we happened to be driving through Albuquerque. And I'm like, babe, they have Starbucks in Albuquerque. Like, we can get born again. This is amazing. Type it into the phone. Remember the phone has that GPS feature? So we were so proud. She pulled out our brand new shiny like iPhone 3 or whatever it was. And she types in Starbucks. And it's like, hey, there's a Starbucks at the next exit. So we're like, glory, hit the go button. So Siri told us to go left and right and straight and through a cemetery and down a dirt road and into the trailer park. This is not a joke. We pulled up in front of a single wide trailer where the roof was crooked, and it wasn't a Starbucks. Siri lied. And if you use Apple Maps today, Siri is still lying. She lied to me this week. What happens when you get lost? You gotta close the app and reopen it. You gotta reset the GPS. What does GPS stand for? It stands for the Global Positioning Satellite. But because there's bazillions of thousands of satellites now it's called the Global Positioning System. So the modern vernacular. But it used to be called the Global Positioning Satellite. When you get lost, you have a choice. You can either keep heading in the wrong direction or you can look back at the GPS. So sometimes in life, we find ourselves lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, like whenever we find ourselves lost, sometimes there's a financial aspect. And I can't remember who told me. I wish I could give them credit. But when I was a young person starting out in life, it was probably my stepdad because he's so smart with money. He said, whenever you're in a tough financial spot, give your way out of it. Be generous to get out of the problem that you're in. So anytime that the church gets into a tough spot financially, that's what I tell our people. I said, we're going to give our way out of this thing. So right now, giving, if you were to look at a chart, normally our giving in November, December, January, it goes whoop. The last few months, our giving, November, December, January, went whoo. Now, you guys did a great February. February was amazing. But we're still recovering from a bad couple of months, and it's been very tight. We're in the black. Don't get me wrong. Everything's fine. But it's been very tight. So it was on Wednesday or Thursday, we were with Brittany and I, who counts our budget. She's our bean counter. We were going over all the beans. And I said, you know what we're going to do? Because we've got to pay the mortgage. It's the first. We pay our mortgage like y'all pay your mortgage, except our mortgage is $12,000. How much is your mortgage? So you wanted to pastor a church. So we were putting the beans together to pay the mortgage. I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give away $500 to find a church in Israel that's winning souls. And we're going to give them $500. Now, this is not we give regularly, but this is like over and above. We're just going to be stupid. And I know we're trying to put together the money for the mortgage. Let's take $500 and give it to missions. So that's what we did. And now I'm expecting God to bless the church. It's like resetting the GPS. So I'm going to teach a very short, very simple, this is a softball. If you're a brand new Christian, you can hit this message today. If you're not yet a Christian, but you will be in about 26 minutes, praise God, you can hit this ball. This is going to be for everybody. Because I've noticed in the last few weeks, from when Josie spoke and when I spoke last week, we've been giving you messages to help equip you for when a spiritual battle, when trouble might come in your life. Because like last week, I taught on spiritual warfare, but I gave the example of David from David and Goliath. He won that battle, not during the battle, he won that battle during peacetime. So right now, this, I hope in your life, this is a peacetime. I hope you're not facing a major battle. You're not, you know, struggling right now. So right before you face another struggle or a thing where you feel lost and you're like you're off of God's GPS, I want to remind you of this message that'll take you back to remember. So remember this message next time that you feel lost in your marriage, lost in your faith, lost in your health, lost in your finances, lost in your joy. You've lost your vision. You've lost your calling. You've lost your destiny. Whenever you feel like your life is lost, remember GPS. And when you remember GPS, I don't want you to remember the global positioning satellite system. I want you to remember these three things when you feel like you need to get your life back on track. And the first thing is this. The first G is this. Whenever I need to remind myself of how to get back on track on my GPS, I give. Giving is always what, like, I for the example, we gave to the nation of Israel this week. Whenever I face trouble in life, usually there is some component of financial problems as well. Like I'll let the lack or the need overshadow me. And then I step into fear and I look at all the bills piling up. And this is either, you know, personal or with your business or like for the church. And like, it's like my focus is not on God. My focus is on the problem. My focus is on the need. And I've noticed that when we give, it takes the focus off of the need and it puts it on the Lord. It puts it on his kingdom. So if you'll learn this message, if you'll learn, whenever my life is off the rails and I feel lost, I need to give. And when I talk about give, I'm not talking about your tithe. I'm talking about giving over and above your tithe. If you want to know how Josie and I do and how all the staff and pastors and leaders here at the church do, we start with giving our tithe no matter what. Now, if you've never heard of that concept, tithing, tithe, it means tenth. We take the first 10% of our income and we give it to the Lord. In fact, we just return it to the Lord because we feel like it's his and we're giving back to him what is already his. So when I say we give our way out of a problem or whatever, we're not giving our tithe. We're giving over and above. We're giving sacrificially, right? And so I'm just how we personally give, we give on the gross of whatever we make because in any time that we get money. You know, when we get a tax return, that's because I've got three kids and two of them in college. So the government's like, oh, poor you, here's a bunch of money back. I tithe on that money because that's extra money that came to me. When we sold a house and we made like 25 grand, we tithed on that because that was an increase. We sold a car once and we tithed on that. We tithe on the gross because the gross is everything I earn. The net is everything I've earned minus the government taking all of their portions. So that's just how we do it. We choose to tithe on the gross, and we give it first. I don't wait to the end of the month. I don't wait until after I've paid my bills. As soon as the money's transferred and I get the email, you know, your payroll has gone in, clickety, 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 we give. And by the way, I try not to give like I'm paying a bill. Like I try to give like an act of worship. Like, Father, I thank you. I bless you that you bless our family, and I'm returning to you what's yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Click. You know what I'm saying? Like I try not to make it like I'm paying a bill. I try to make it an experience where I'm worshiping. Because if we don't give that first 10%, for me and my house, I feel like I'm stealing from God because it belongs to the Lord. Now, that might be a weird concept, but it's actually biblical. Malachi chapter 3, you've heard this verse before, but the Lord was criticizing the people of Israel for stealing from God. And he said, should a people cheat God because you have cheated me? And you might ask, Lord, what do you mean? How have we ever cheated you? And the Lord said, you cheated me out of the tithes and the offerings that are due to me, that are mine, that are owed to me. And because you've cheated me and because you've stolen the tithe, verse 9 says, you're actually under a curse. You and your entire nation have been cheating God of the tithe. What you should do is verse 10, bring the entire tithe into the storehouse of God so there'll be enough food in my temple. And if you do tithe, the Lord of heaven's army says, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing over you that is so great you won't have room to take it all in. And then the Lord says, try me, put it to the test. Because if you'll tithe, verse 11 says, your crops will be abundant. I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they're ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So when Josie and I give our tithe, we don't look at it as if we're giving. We look at it as we're returning that first 10% to its rightful owner. And we absolutely test God. Anytime there's a trial in our life and we go to prayer, we say, Father in heaven, we are tithers. Or we are asking that you'd open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing. And not just money. I'm talking blessing over our marriage, blessing over our kids, blessing over our health, blessing over our vision, our ministry, our destiny. God's blessing everywhere. No, guys, put verse 11 back up. I'm not a farmer. My income doesn't come in grapes and wheat. It comes in a digital check online transfer thing, right? But I want my crops to be abundant. And I want God to protect my home and protect my income. So here's the funny thing. People will often say, oh, pastor, I can't afford to tithe. Brother, I'm telling you, you can't afford not to tithe. And people will say, well, I can't afford the tithe. And then I notice that these same people that say they can't afford it, they have to spend an unbelievable amount of money on like the most random, crazy, out of the blue expenses. Oh, I needed new tires, or this came up, or that came up. And you're like, boy, you're just so unlucky that all that, no, you're not unlucky. Insects and disease are stealing your crop. Because you're not tithing. And the same is reversed. I notice that the people that are really faithful to give to the Lord, their finances are blessed. Their cars last forever. Their tires seem to last forever. Like, they just seem to be blessed financially. And here's where the pushback comes when it comes to giving. I don't know why I'm spending so much time on giving. Probably because the church needs money. So, kidding. Sort of. What was I talking about? Here's where the pushback comes. People say, oh, preacher, you just don't know any better. You know, you're so dumb, little preacher. Tithing is an Old Testament principle, and God changed that rule from Malachi. Can you go back two verses? I am the Lord, I do not change. Two verses before the tithe verse, the Lord says, oh, I'm God, I don't change. So here's the thing. No, I know that we're not under the Jewish law. You're right. We are not under the Jewish law. Jesus fulfilled that law. But here's what Jesus did. He always doubled down on the Old Testament Jewish law. He took the letter of the law, and then he added the spirit of the law. And then look at it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. You've heard that our ancestors, the Jewish ancestors under the law, they said you must not murder, because if you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. That makes sense. So Jesus doubled down. He said, I'm telling you, even if you get angry with somebody, you're subject to judgment. If you call somebody an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse at somebody, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Flipping somebody off on 183 could send you to hell, Jesus said. Skip down to verse 27. Jesus doubles down again. You've heard the commandment that says, don't commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Jesus took the Old Testament law, and he acted like it was the outline of a coloring book. And then he added color and three dimensions and smell-o-vision, because he didn't want the letter of the law, he wanted the spirit of the law. So yes, tithing is an Old Testament law, but how much more should we be giving under the spirit of the law, under the new covenant? So if you find yourself lost in life, marriage trouble, financial trouble, health trouble, anxiety trouble, peace, whatever the trouble that you find, and you find yourself lost, return to the GPS and give to God. Because here's what happens, and I said it earlier, when we find ourselves in trouble, we begin to belly button gaze, and our focus is, oh, poor me, woe is me, I'm in trouble, and all of our focus is here. When we give to the Lord, when we give to missions, when we give to outreach, when we give, our heart and our money goes somewhere else, and we're looking up, Lord, man, I want to see a harvest. I want to see you do great things. So that's why when we give, things like the Heart for the House offering coming up, like, God, I want to see you work in Peru. I want to see you work in my city. I want to see you work in my church. So when you find yourself lost, return to the GPS. G is give. P, I'm taking two P words, prayer and praise. Now, when you're lost, and you're off the rails, why is it that it seems like praying is the last resort? Well, I guess it can't get any worse. You might as well pray. What? Why don't you start with prayer? Right? Well, you know, I guess it's too late and we're already in this trouble. Might as well pray. Preacher, why don't you pray for us? and you end up praying for your food, you know. What? When you find your life is lost, prayer and praise will lead you back to God's plan. Now, I'm actually not even going to spend much time on the P, because last Sunday, that whole message to raise a hallelujah is to teach you how to war during peacetime. It teaches you how to reset your GPS. But let me just say this. Whenever I'm in trouble, I try to think my way out of trouble. Because we're smart people, right? God has made these amazing brains. We are children of God. We're made in the image of God. So we start to think. And the problem is, we think we're smarter than God. And we try to reason our way out of the problem that we're facing. We try to figure everything out. I'm telling you, when life has got you lost, return to the GPS. Pray and praise your way out. Don't think, sing. Don't think, pray. Take time to sing that song and let your soul worship God. It lifts your heart, it lifts your mind, it lifts your hands to the heavens, and you stop focusing on your problem. You're going to focus on the goodness of God, not the problem that you're facing. And we think we're so smart. We think, no, I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for praise. I just got to figure this out. I'm so smart. God is smarter than you. Ask the Lord for wisdom to get out of the mess that you're in. You say, well, the Lord doesn't know the situation I'm in. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will give you wisdom. He's not even going to rebuke you for asking for wisdom. When you ask the Lord, here's some practical examples. Be sure that your faith is in God alone, not in your work, not in your intellect, not in your money, not in your strength, not in your talents. Make sure that your faith, when you ask God for wisdom, is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who is divided loyalty is unsettled, like a wave in the sea, blown about, tossed around by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from God. That sounds so harsh for the New Testament, doesn't it? Because God's all cupcakes and fairy tales and rainbows, right? When we ask God, we need to ask in faith according to the kingdom of God, not according to the wisdom of this world. Because when we ask like that, our loyalty is divided between God and the world, and we're unstable in everything we do. When you pray and when you praise, when you lift a hallelujah and you focus in and you ask God for wisdom, you're showing, God, my loyalty is in you. My wisdom comes from you. I need not of this world, not of my intellect. My faith is in you. My trust is in you. And I need wisdom in this situation. And then crazy thought, shut up and listen. How many of you know more than the GPS? No, follow the GPS, follow the Lord. So if I'm lost, I need the GPS to get me out of the bad place that I'm in and get me back onto the road that the Lord wants me to be on. So prayer and praise, praying in the Holy Spirit, we talked about it last Sunday, praying in other tongues, man, it strengthens you on the inside. It strengthens you on your inner man. And when you feel lost, we usually feel weak. Nobody finds themselves lost and says, I feel really spiritually strong right now to be so lost. No. The moment we feel lost in life, we begin to like cower and we question everything and we feel really weak. And here's the thing. When we're lost and when we're weak, that's when we make our dumbest decisions. That's when we sleep with somebody we're not married to. That's when we get drunk or high. That's when we look at pornography. That's when we blow money on something we shouldn't have blown money onto. We're reacting with our emotions and not with godly wisdom. So prayer and praise strengthens you and develops you on the inside. You're less likely to sin and do something stupid if you're in prayer. If you're here this Tuesday night at 7 for our prayer service, it's unlikely you'll get drunk in the natural. Hallelujah. Shabbat. I have not seen anybody get high on a Tuesday night at 7. Even Rick and Catherine, totally stone cold sober on some old 70s potheads. Born again, hallelujah. Very few people fall into sin while singing a worship song. I'm just saying, most people don't sleep with people they're not married to while singing a worship song. It's unlikely if you're going to sleep with somebody that you're not married to and you put on your favorite Bethel playlist, you probably won't go through with it. Nervous laughter from this section right here. Because if you'll lift the prayer, if you lift the praise, your focus is on the Lord and not on the problem. So if you missed last Sunday's message, man, I double dog dare you to go to our website, go to our podcast. It's called Raise a Hallelujah. Great message. Let's move on to S. To get back onto the roadmap that God has for you, we're going to give, we're going to pray, and then we're going to serve. We're going to serve our way out of this mess. And you may be like, this is just your excuse so you can get up on a Sunday and say, saved people serve people. Yep. And when we serve, we're following in Jesus' example. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. He served us so much, he gave up his life as a ransom for us. Jesus came from heaven to earth to serve you and I. Saved people do serve people because you've got Jesus living on the inside of you. I tell you what, when I find myself lost in life, when I find myself in a mess, when I find myself in trouble, my worldview gets really small. You know who's at the center of my worldview when I'm lost? Me. And I'm like, my whole world just comes crashing down. I don't want people in my life, and I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be around people. I just want to think and mope and pout. And I understand that some people process differently. When I'm in trouble, when I'm in a mess, I don't want to be with people. I just want to sit and watch Netflix and be lonely and pout and be sad and fret and worry, right? And it's just like, poor me, my life is so terrible. It'll never get better. I'm lost and I'll never find my way back. I'm going down this pit of despair. I'm telling you, remember this message. If you'll give, if you'll pray, if you'll praise, and if you'll serve, God will lead you out. Because here's what happens. When you bless somebody else, when you serve somebody else, your focus is on other people. Because Jesus laid down his life to serve, we lay our lives down to serve. So literally, to serve in our church, to serve in the worship team, to serve in the tech team, to serve in the prayer team, the welcome team, the parking team. Big props to the parking team for being out in the cold rain today. Man, thank you guys so much. But I'm not even just talking about serving in the church. There's more to serving. Like our outreach team goes out every Wednesday. Join the New Life outreach group every Wednesday night. Maybe tonight when it's cold and rainy, take some warm socks and blankets and an umbrella down to the homeless in Lancaster Avenue. You know, maybe sign up for the Six Stones CPR project to restore our community and be a blessing right here in our community. Offer to babysit a single mom's kids for free and bless a single mom and love on her. You know, take care of the old lady across the street, or like just love on people, serve people, lay your life down. Because what happens is we focus on others and we're not focusing on the problem. We're thinking about other people. And we're like, oh, okay, this situation won't be so bad. Because I'm giving, I'm praying, and I'm serving other people. If you're not serving at New Life Family Church, ask yourself, where could I serve? Could I join the parking team? Could I help be an usher? Could I join the worship team, the prayer team, the security team, the kids team, 1,000 different teams where you can serve our city, you can serve our people by getting plugged in. By the way, that starts with Growth Track 1, which is today after service. Today, right after service. There's also a little bonus. If you serve your community, if you serve your neighbors, if you serve in our church, you will be more and more like Jesus because Jesus laid down his life to serve us. You'd be like, dude, I can't be like Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. He's like the ultimate minister of the gospel. You're a minister of the gospel. You might not have a stage and a microphone and people that come to your house at 10 o'clock every Sunday, but you're a minister, you're a pastor, you're an evangelist, you're a prophet, you're a teacher. Wherever you go, you take Jesus on the inside of you. In fact, can I tell you something? It's our job as the church, the organized church, pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers, it's our job, according to Ephesians 4:12, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Your job is to do the work of the ministry. You're the pastor over your apartment community. You're the evangelist over your dog park. You're the Bible teacher to your water cooler. Imagine how many more people we could win to Jesus and see born again in our city if all of us would recognize that we are ministers of the gospel wherever we go. What's the vision of our church? To know God, grow strong in our faith, and then do what God's called us to do. How can we say that we want to see the lost saved if we as a church don't, you know, minister to the lost? All right, for time, I got to wrap this up. My final thought would be this. You ever felt like the phone, the GPS is not talking to all the right satellites, like maybe cloud cover, or maybe you've left DFW and you're somewhere in Ranger, Texas, and there's no satellites out there, and you're lost. I find, and it's just me personally, so I threw this in here, when we complain, it blocks God's satellites. God's talking, but we can't hear the satellites because of our complaining. You ever get lost, and then your phone is like, whoa, wrong direction. Now you're going to be late, recalculating, and it like turns you around and tries to get you back, and you complain all the way back. Well, the stupid traffic, and then the red light, and that guy's broke down, and they cut me off, and all this and that, and then the president's here, and they shut down 183, and I got to wait for an hour, and we're just complaining all the way back to God's route for our life. When we complain about having to give in an offering, when we complain about our tithe, if you can't tithe like this, don't tithe. When you give to the Lord, man, it should be like your birthday, that you're just so excited, I get to give money to God. If you can't come into prayer or praise on a Tuesday night like, I get to pray, don't come to prayer. Well, I'll take you anyway. I'll teach you to pray. If you can't serve people like with a joyful heart and all you're going to do is complain, don't serve people. Because when you complain, you are stealing your joy and you're stealing the joy from everybody around you. So don't complain about the GPS that God's got you on. Celebrate. Be like, I love God's GPS. I love giving. I love praying. I love praise. I love serving. Celebrate that GPS. By the way, if you're new to New Life Family Church, welcome. We have been waiting for you. You have found your church home. You don't have to shop around anymore. We are so glad you are here. We want to give you an opportunity to serve God. We do it through our dream teams or all of these people that are serving you this morning. They're on one of our teams. But all of that starts with Growth Track 1. I was joking, sort of. But Growth Track is right after service. It's about a one-hour class that I will teach. I want to get to know you a little bit. I want to tell you the church's history, our vision, our destiny, and help you get plugged in to our church family, because we want to give you an opportunity to be served. And you might say, like, listen, preacher, I'm not like a super G.I. Joe Jesus guy, right? I'm kind of new to all this church stuff. I'm not perfect. You do not need to be perfect to serve. All you need to do is have a heartbeat, and we will find a place for you to serve. You know what I'm saying? So just have to be willing. Now, my final thing is this. I find that whenever I'm in the will of God, right, I feel like it's a tightrope. And I have to be so obedient to God that if I miss God's voice, if I miss God's opportunities, it's like he's going to flick me off the tightrope. And I'm like, and I find myself lost. I'm like, well, then God's mad at me. And I'll never get back into the will of God. I didn't go to the right college. I didn't take the right job. I didn't marry the right person. I didn't take the right exit. Like, I made the wrong choice, and now God's mad at me, and he's going to punish me. Man, nothing can be further from the truth. God loves you. If you make the wrong choice, he will recalculate. What happens when you make the wrong turn? Siri doesn't freak out. It's usually her fault anyway, right? Siri will just recalculate. All right, go down here, make a left, go up there about a mile, make a left, you're back on the highway, no big deal, you lost a minute. It's really not that big of it. God will recalculate your life and get you on the plan, on the path, because he loves you and he wants the best for you. He's not going to take away his blessing over your life. You will say, well, I feel like I married the wrong person. Whoever you're married to right now is the right person, because you're married. So make it work. You know what I'm saying? Just this whole thing about falling in love and Hallmark and dating, it's about 100 years old. For like 6,000 years of human history, parents have said, boy, girl, get married. And you just have to love each other and make it work. You don't have to like be so afraid you're gonna miss God if you study the wrong thing in school or take the wrong job or buy the wrong car. I mean, yes, I want you to pray and be led by the Spirit, but if you feel like you've made a mistake, God loves you and he's just gonna recalculate you and then lead you back to where he wants you to be. He's not mad at you. Hop up on your feet. Let's pray. Do you feel lost right now in your life? Just close your eyes. Just think about it. Do you feel like you've lost your way? Do you feel like you're heading in a direction you shouldn't be heading in? Do you feel like maybe you're on a path that God has not laid out for you? You're on your own path. You're on the path of your own wisdom, your own intellect, your talent, your finances. You're on the path that the world has just laid out for you. But hearing something like this, hearing these scriptures, you're like, crud, man, I need to get back on God's path. I need to give. I need to tithe. I need to give offerings over and above my tithe. I need to worship. I need to praise. I need to pray. I need to serve. I'm not even talking about your soul. I'm just talking about your life. Do you feel like you need to get back on track, that you might be lost? Why don't you just talk to the Lord and just say, God, help me. Maybe it's something that you know you did wrong. Just close your eyes and just say, God, forgive me. Man, I'm so sorry. I did that thing. I know it wasn't you. Please forgive me. Please recalculate my life. Please get me back in the direction where I have that joy, that peace, that destiny, that calling, that I know that I'm walking in your will. Lord, if I haven't been giving, if I haven't been praying, if I haven't been serving, Lord, forgive me. I want to be just like you. I want to follow in your example. So teach me, Lord, how to pray, how to give, how to serve others like you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you're like, dude, I'm not even on the Jesus road yet. Like, I'm over here in my own world. I do my thing. I'm just doing my own thing. So I'm not on that Jesus road. Listen, I can hand you the map today. There's only one way to know God the Father. It's through Jesus the Son. I can introduce you to Jesus, and he will lay out for you, he will hand you a spiritual GPS for your life, for your heart. He'll forgive you of your sin. You will have to repent, and repent means you make a 180-degree turn away from sin, and you start walking down that road that God has marked out for you. So if you're here this morning, and this might be the very first time in your life that you would pray a prayer like that, or maybe you used to be on God's road, but you've allowed your own thinking, you've allowed sin, you've allowed problems in life to derail you, and you think you're lost. So maybe for the first time, or the first time in a long time, it's been a minute since you've been walking on God's road, today you want to get right with God. Today you want to pray, you want to repent of your sin, you want to turn your life back towards God's plan for your life, towards eternal life. It would be my highest honor to lead you in that prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come down to the front and give us your name, but I would like to know who I'm going to pray for. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you raise your hand up real high right now and say, preacher, pray for me. Today's my, I see your hand in the back. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand up real high. I see your hand there in the middle. I see your hand on the side. I see your hand down front. Come on, anybody else? Raise your hand up. I see your hand in the back. Come on now. I saw five or six people raise their hand and say, today's my day. I'm going to get right with God today. Thank you, Lord. Ha. Hey, you five or six people, if you're wondering why they're just all shouting like somebody scored a touchdown, it's because they're happy for you. They're excited for you. They're excited that you're turning your life in the direction of God's will for your life. Hey, why don't we pray? Why don't we all pray, right? Let's all pray this prayer together. I'm going to lead you, but you know, you've got to pray it from your heart. Let's all say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for leading my life. I want you to lead my life. So I turn my life over to you. Be the Lord of my life, the King of my heart, the Savior of my soul. Lead me, Lord, in paths of righteousness, of blessing, as I will be your child. Thank you for forgiving me. I receive the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name. Hey, what do you five or six people say? Come on, somebody. Man, I'm so proud of you. Golly.